Our text for this morning is a story that I have never been terribly fond of, oddly. And I think it's mostly because I never really understood it. This week, as I was working with the text, preparing for this morning, I found something here that I'd never noticed before. This is the story in this text is Jesus washing the feet of his disciples before the before their meal and before his arrest and his trial. And what I realized this week in working on the text was that Jesus was not setting up a ritual, a literal ritual that we were to follow all through history. But what he was doing in washing his disciples' feet was showing them, because he was preparing them for what was about to come, for the danger that they would be in, for their loss of him. He was showing them, preparing them for how they should live in a world that is coming apart. And I was thinking about, you remember the bracelets that used to be real popular, especially with our among more evangelical churches, the WWJD bracelet, the What Would Jesus Do? I think what Jesus is doing in this story is showing his people what they should do in a world that is coming unglued. So if I were to title this sermon, I didn't do, but if I would, it'd be something like, What Would Jesus Do in a Dangerous Situation? So keep that as kind of the background thought as we go through the story and the sermon to follow. So this is Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered him, Those who have had a bath need only wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. That concludes the reading for this Sunday. God is speaking to us through these words, and when God speaks, the words are true. We can trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was talking, I think, with the church board about which Lenten services are typically held here at Mazo UCC. And that's where I learned that you offer an Ash Wednesday or a Maundy Thursday service, but not both, and you don't have a Good Friday service, and you have a preference, it seemed, for Maundy Thursday over Ash Wednesday. Now, if anybody had asked me, which of course they didn't, I would have said that this abbreviated schedule is a missed opportunity. I would have suggested that we are missing out on the full experience of the Lenten season and its preparation for the surprise and the joy of Easter. But, as all of you know by now, I try real hard to get along with everybody, and so I let it ride. And then somebody asked, in a tone that let me know they were hoping the answer would be no, if I would be including a foot washing service as a part of Maundy Thursday. I assured them that the thought had not crossed my mind, and they, as I was, were relieved to hear that. But Jesus did wash his disciples' feet. The master served the servants. The disciples and Jesus himself would have recognized this as a terribly improper thing to do. In their culture, you know, masters sat and servants served. And that protocol was never to be violated. And yet, Jesus, knowing what was coming, got up from the table, took a towel and a basin, and washed the dirty feet of each of his friends, from Judas, who would betray him, to Peter, who would deny him. So what I don't want us to miss, especially in this particular Lenten season, with all the unpleasantness going on in our country, I don't want us to miss the why of what he does here. Why does he wash their feet? What's the point? Washing their feet is, of course, a symbolic act. It is an acted-out metaphor, a parable, in other words. But a parable about what? Symbols aren't meant to be taken literally, you know. That's why they're called symbols. So like with any story that Jesus told, we have to look a little more deeply into what is going on. Because if all we do is read the story without understanding, we will certainly miss that deeper, more important lesson in this symbol of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I mean, even the disciples don't understand what Jesus does here. But over the next several days, they are going to learn. And from our vantage point, you know, 2,000 years later, we know what's coming next. In the story, they don't. But Jesus drops some important clues in the last six verses of today's reading. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example. You should do as I have done for you." And then a little later in the chapter beyond our reading for today, Jesus says to them, "A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And then some 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples are going to learn that following in the way of Jesus, and that was their precise calling, following in the way of Jesus, loving in the way of Jesus, serving in the way of Jesus, was meant doing all of those things for everybody, for all the widows and orphans, for the oppressed and those in danger, for the poor, and even for the wealthy, if they were willing to receive it. This is what it meant, is what it still means to follow Jesus. Love your neighbor, whoever they are, whatever their color, wherever they come from. Serve your neighbor, feed them when they are hungry, protect them when they are threatened by the hateful and the powerful. Put yourself between them and the danger they face, even when serving that way causes danger to yourself. Love as I have loved you, serve as I have served you. This is the full extent of our calling today. This is what they were called to 2,000 years ago. This is what we are called to today. Now, I'm going to bring this really close to home. And this is where a sermon like this gets kind of risky. So please listen carefully to what I'm saying. I don't want to be misunderstood. Over the last several weeks, the city of Minneapolis, just down the road from us, has been enduring a violent and cruel immigration enforcement action, which is still going on. Minnesotans watched as their immigrant neighbors, legal as well as undocumented neighbors, were rounded up and taken away. And the people of Minneapolis rose up, many tens of thousands of them, and they said, no more and never again. They rose up, and walking in the way of Jesus, they showed the ICE agents, they showed the whole world what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. They showed us all what it looks like to serve your neighbor as Jesus serves us, to the point, in the case of two people, of unjust execution. Many of these Minnesotans are Christians. They know who they are following. But many also are Jews or Muslims or atheists or nothing in particular. When they all demonstrated, regardless of their background, what they knew was the difference between right and wrong, between justice and injustice, between kindness and cruelty. Following their own religions or no religion at all, they found the courage. They found the courage to do the right thing. And I think it's really important for us to see that these Minnesotans braving the sub-zero cold and the danger, they are not playing politics with this. They are, in fact, doing what is loving and what is right. They are doing what Jesus would do in a dangerous situation, displaying what St. Paul would call some years later the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is not a political movement, you see. It is not a rebellion or an insurrection. With very few exceptions, none of these people supporting and protecting their immigrant neighbors are even breaking the law. This is not an insurrection. It is more like a revival of the way of Jesus, with surprising people showing up in surprising ways. I have given you an example, Jesus said. What I have done for you, you should do for others. I give you a new commandment, he said. Love one another as I have loved you. Look carefully at Jesus, who came to show us who God was in a way we might understand it. Look closely and you will see why St. John could say many years later that God is love. This means, of course, this means that whenever you see love breaking out, wherever you see kindness or justice or generosity or gentleness on display, you are seeing God. This is the life that we are called to. It is a high, it is a holy calling, and a difficult task, a dangerous task that we've been invited into. We may Likely, we will fail as often as we succeed. But we carry this task out under the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is certain. When we walk this path, we will never be walking alone. Amen.